trade shows are pivotal because we can track the pulse of the market. We can confirm what we've been forecasting and see what is emerging, what is fermenting, where it's going. It's really interesting.
That's Gemma Roberti, Director of Interiors at WJSN. And she's talking about why the biannual interiors trade show, Maison et Objet, is so important for tracking interiors trends. I'm Bethan Ryder, Director of Editorial at WJSN, and I'm here in conversation with Gemma, who's just got back from the January edition of Maison Objet in Paris. And that's one of the key trade shows globally for home interiors and decor. Gemma shares her highlights from kid-alt themes to outdoor trends, which colours are on the rise, and a surprising new sustainable innovation made from rice. We kicked off our conversation by discussing how Maison is still thriving and reinventing itself in a challenging landscape for interiors fairs. For example, the London Design Fair has been postponed this year. So I asked Gemma how Maison is evolving.
It was nice to be a Maison, actually, because I came to it with a fresh pair of eyes. I missed the September edition. So it was nice to also see how things are going. You know, Maison has always been quite focused on celebrating French design, European design. We noticed they're really making an effort to engage broader audiences. There was a really interesting presence of more Southeast Asian brands from Malaysia, Taiwan, Thailand, Hong Kong. Japan was a great focus as well, with a couple of dedicated areas, really celebrating the craftsmanship from the different areas of Japan. And then also Greece and Turkey were quite present across the show. So really quite fresh, actually, to see some of these brands. A good number of new exhibitors. There was someone from Australia as well, a first-time exhibitor. So it was quite fun. And another thing that the fair was doing quite well, trying to bring some freshness, is the connection to the city. They used to kind of be compartmentalized. What's happening downtown, the Design Week, or there's Deco Off now in January, dedicated to textile editors, and what's happening at the fairgrounds. It was really instead very much more connected. There was a lot of communication around brands that are showcasing downtown and giving them a small podium, if you want, in areas of the fair. So trying to bring people to go downtown as well. That was very good.
So from our perspective at WJSN, I know that buyers go to the fair, retailers go to the fair. Why do we go? And then what do we share with clients? Why is it an important fair for us to visit?
Maison Objet, because it's a point of reference for everything that is happening in decor. It's the most important, I would argue, in Europe, but also drawing a huge international presence from the US, from China and the Far East. It's where you track the pulse of what is happening in decor, quite close to market. You have brands that showcase here from the more premium and established to the emerging ones. That was something also quite good at the show. Like, it's really trying to reinforce and expand their support of emerging designers, of, you know, young studios that experiment with materials, maybe with new production approaches that bring something fresh to the table. In general, for us, trade shows are pivotal because we can track the pulse of the market. We can confirm what we've been forecasting and see what is emerging, what is fermenting, where it's going. It's really interesting. And this edition in particular of Maison Objet, compared in a way to what my colleagues were saying about September, where it felt more driven by macro conversations, you know, everything that is happening around wellness, around play, there was less trend-driven conversation and a lot more focus on product. So really, it allowed us as well to focus on seeing, on discussing and hearing and learning about product and the innovation in it and the materials and the production processes and, you know, the history behind the crafts, a lot of crafts as well that were showcased at the show.
Yeah, I think you go to sort of almost as many fairs around the world as fashion, right? And you do, not only do you report back immediately, but you also do these brilliant roundups on the platform of kind of soaking it all in from Cologne, Maison, Milan. It's
connecting the dots.
Yeah, connecting the dots. And I suppose for listeners that don't understand the difference maybe with Maison and Milan, Salone, which is, I think it's worth stating that Salone is very big sort of industrial and in terms of furniture, big pieces and everything, right? Lighting, bathrooms, and Maison is much more the sort of accessories, tableware, as you said, fabrics, wallpaper. So it's much more in a way about interior design.
It's very much about decorative items, basically, across the whole home, whether it's tableware, bedding in a way, throws, textiles, rugs. It's really about decorative items for the home.
Yeah. And I read that Mathieu Lehanner won Design of the Year. He was on this podcast back in May because he caught up with him in Milan. He's a really poetic designer I love who often addresses climate change. So what did he do at Maison?
Poetic is a really nice way to describe his work, actually. And it was quite interesting how he came to design the space that was dedicated to him. Rather than doing kind of a self-celebration, he took a theme that he funnily called autonomy, but playing on, you know, with the play of word on out, like outside, outdoors, and autonomy, like self-sufficient. And he said it all started from thinking, what would I do if I was moving out of Paris? What would I bring with me? You know, we're all concerned about climate emergency and what is happening to our world and what can we bring with us when we're thinking about creating a haven, a refuge. And it's really interesting. He also says, we need to also embrace technology in this respect. We don't need to think, oh, I'm going to go back to a cave and quite visceral and primeval into how I can reconnect with nature and the environment. So he's tapping into the innovations in technology, in materials, in water collection, for instance, or the benefits of natural light that can be mimicked from artificial lighting, actually, and created this really inviting, calming space, a room that felt bathed in sunlight, yet it was artificial light. And the outside was all clad in super vibrant yellow. It's quite optimistic to use yellow as well. It's a color that speaks of energy, of fun, but also of emergency. It's really important for signage, for wayfinding. So there was also that idea of cladding something in yellow across the board and making it very drawing attention and calling people to discover what is in there. It was really fascinating, actually.
That sounds brilliant. It seems to tap into things like we've had a migration of people leaving cities, but also this whole thing about how we're going to work with technology and we need to integrate it in ways that are not harming the planet, but are going to be useful for us. So in there, what was your most exciting innovation that you had? The water collection sounds brilliant.
The water collection, the window was really interesting. I think the natural light, being able to mimic natural light with so much realism, and we all know the benefits of natural light. Like, it's scientifically proven to be fundamental. We're bringing it into offices, into hospitality, into everything that we do. The pandemic, of course, enhanced, exacerbated this focus on the importance of natural light, the access to the outdoors, and being in a space that feels sun-kissed was beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, how lovely and energizing.
You know, it's a nice way, again, a poetic way to see a benefit in technology, to take the good that technology can do and bring it to life. That's something that we talk about also when we're looking at the innovations for 2026, that idea of AI for good, of technology for good, and how it can empower and make our lives, the world, better.
Yeah, we still own it and we can still make it work for us. Exactly. And then last time we talked about lots of mood busting colors. I wondered what was the overarching shade that you saw everywhere this year at Maison?
I gotta say neutrals. I think it felt much more considered as an overarching feeling across the show. There were a lot of beautiful, tinted, warm, tactile neutrals across the board in a variety of materials, hard and soft. Quite a lot of sage green, the kind of eucalyptus grayed out green that was very refined, because it's a color that can feel quite luxurious and quite practical at the same time. We call it out as the color of the new recycled materials as well. We saw also a lot of olive green, really elegant, really rich, really inviting, and a lot of near black brown. A beautiful focus on this kind of tinted blacks, inviting darks, especially in a brown shade. And brown is at the forefront of many conversations at the moment, beyond the focus on wood. You know, it is a color that speaks of classicity, of timelessness, of reliability in a way as well. And seeing it, you know, in stained implementations on the wood, glazes, velvets, it was really, really inviting, very beautiful.
That's really interesting because we talked recently about colour with Petra from H&M, and she was saying that following the pandemic, there was this real rush to embrace bright colours and dopamine brights and all these things that we needed because we were kind of released from lockdown. And then she said it's sort of calming down, and even in fashion, it's going to these sort of neutrals and whites. And it just feels like that's happening in interiors. I mean, obviously, these things are always intertwined. But also, I feel like the colours you've just talked about are very earthy and very reassuring in that sense.
Yeah, there's a lot of relatability into those colors as well. And there's, you know, it's not about clinical neutrals. It's really about texturality. It's about tactility. There's a lot of nuances as well. We've been tracking the rise of neutrals for some time, and there are so many nuances that can be worked with. And, you know, blurring the line between a beige, a gray, a brown, this idea of the grayish or the grayed out green, so much beauty and refinement can be achieved with these colors.
I know that Maison is, as you said, it's like tableware. There's a lot of ceramics always. There's always lovely shows with Ladro and all these sorts of brands. I wondered, though, what's the sort of trend with ceramics this year?
There are a few. Something that we found quite interesting was seeing established quite heritage brands as well, like Royal Delft or Ladro or Boza, embracing or jumping onto the Kidult theme, the collectible figurines, with, you know, playfulness. The Kidult design direction, if you want, it's something that is quite relevant at the moment. If we look at market sizing, there is a great opportunity to address this segment of the audience with collaborations. So we're seeing, you know, it holds a really hefty portion of the toy market as well. So, you know, driven by nostalgia, but that idea of finding comfort into tried and true and well-known icons and characters, etc. So I don't know, we saw Royal Delft, for instance, was presenting a very nice penguin of about 50 centimeters high, very playful character, but all patterned with the classic blue and white Delft motifs. Ladro has presented a collaboration with Javier Calleja under what they call their art edition project. And it's really premium collectible elements. They actually presented it first at Design Miami in December. So there's definitely a really interesting opportunity to tap into this more mature collector's audience with juicy collaborations, celebrating the anniversary of certain icons, like there was Warner Bros. At Boza with Bugs Bunny, Lucy Cass, you know, the classic iconic figurines, collaborating with Jeremy Ville, the really well-known graphic artist and designer. So creating this kind of appetite also for figurines, for collectibles, for limited editions as well. They, you know, collectible toys are to showcase on the shelf and have fun with.
You're listening to the WGSN Create Tomorrow podcast. I'm Bethan Ryder, and I'm joined in this episode by my colleague, interiors expert Gemma Roberti. She's sharing the key products and trends that she spied at Maison Objet this January in Paris. Gemma, I also saw that the interior designer to the Hollywood stars, Martin Lawrence Bouillard, who's done sort of homes for a lot of the Kardashians, has also designed some Mickey Mouse figurines. Tell me about this. It seems to be a real sense of experimentation and fun at the moment in interiors.
What we saw in Maison was also quite elevated, if you want, but it's nice to see that it's something that is coming also at different price points. So we're just back from Nuremberg Toy Fair, and there was a lot of that addressing the Kidult market, but with more pocket-sized and pocket-friendly, in a way, characters and interpretations as well. So there's something for all levels of the market as well.
And I think it's something we're tracking a lot and talking about on Insight as well, because there's all these incredible stats at the moment that adults are responsible now for 1/4 of global toy sales. That was a stat from the NPD group. And that this is all about, it's kind of like in a world of stress, people are retreating to playtime and people are recognizing how important play is, which I think designers always know, right? That's what designing is. It's playing in a sense. But I think we're going to cover it on Carla's podcast because it is such a huge thing. I also wondered, Gemma, because it got me thinking when we were talking earlier about yesterday, about what we're going to talk about today. I don't know if you've seen White Lotus, but White Lotus has the last edition had these Moro heads were a sort of an emblem of the last series because they were filming it in Sicily. And there are these beautiful ceramic heads that are made there. I think apparently they stem from the Middle Ages and when the Moors actually influenced, you know, went to Sicily. But I was at a friend's house for dinner the other week and they had these two Moro heads on there. And I'd never seen, they didn't have that kind of thing before. And I just think it's really interesting how television, things like that, this kind of taps into it, these sort of figurines and these people embracing these sorts of accessories in their home that are figurative or fun or playful.
Yeah, we started seeing that actually last year at the previous editions of Maison Objet and other trade shows, a lot of focus on faces and busts as well that, you know, from the more ornamental side, like the Sicilian inspired ones to the more classical, a lot of brands playing with almost like parts of sculptures, and it's still quite relevant. There is a whole return or celebration of neoclassical references and ancient times. You know, we've from just the detailing, like fluting and arches and very column almost inspired detailing, to really this bust, this statue-like elements and busts and faces and body parts as well that mimic the marbleness of classical pieces. It's, again, you know, that kind of nostalgia is still very, very important. And there is a comfort that is found also in such distant times, from a time that speaks of, you know, harmony in a way, of elegance, of symmetry as well. It's something that has remained relevant and a point of reference throughout thousands of years. And now we're, you know, re-celebrating that, finding it as a point of reference in decor.
So any other notable trends that you saw coming through at Maison?
Craft, as I mentioned, was really definitely something really interesting. Less rustic craft, if you want, you know, the immediate association that you have when you think craft. Yes, there's still a lot of interlaced fibers and caning, but there was a lot of freshness coming to it by unexpected material juxtaposition. So very rustic ceramics for the lamp base, for instance, paired with a super fine texture, like really elegant weave in the lampshade, tinted glass, really, really nice tinted glass paired with the woven fibers, with the wicker, etc. There was a brand from Singapore that was extremely interesting. Alto by Commune is their name. And their latest collection, for instance, was showcasing really refined detailing around, like the trimming of the table edge, for instance, was actually an interlace, a braiding of very thin leather stripes. And the chairs were also showing, like, very at the bottom or where the hardware was, where the joints were of the different parts of the chair, like wrapped around very thin leather strips. So all these kind of interventions bring freshness to craft. There's contemporary interpretations. So many really nice works in glass as well, pairing glass with very rough marble that was quite fun as well. So that was definitely, it's a perennial conversation, if you want. It's a macro trend that is relevant because consumers care about knowing who made the product, what is the history, what's the material sourcing narrative, etc. So they care about the story behind the piece. But there's a lot of freshness in that as well. We see this growing more layered, more refined, and unexpected in a way.
Yeah, certainly in the report, I love those. I saw on the site the just a lot of lovely sort of woven leather handles and edges. And there seems to be this bringing softness to hard items, which is really, really lovely. What about the outdoors? Because I know I've said it's a lot about tableware and accessories, but did you see very much there?
Yeah, the outdoors, the focus on embracing the outdoors and, you know, blurring the lines between indoor and outdoor is another overarching conversation that remains a key driver for brands and retailers. What was quite fun at this show, and actually Eva, my colleague that is just back from Ambiente as well in Frankfurt, parasols. really elegant parasols with passementry detailing and fringing and braiding, or quite elevated, elegant fabrics that are used for the sunshade. So a really fun, interesting new key item to call out. Really good for hospitality, but also, you know, thinking of investment pieces when you are thinking of renovating the outdoor space, that can be one key focus. And then it's all about smaller pieces otherwise. Portable lighting, a lot of really still very beautiful, getting more and more decorative, elegant, quite, you know, premium look and feel for outdoor lighting and portable lighting.
Yeah, I keep seeing, like, I've already got some portable lighting, but I literally keep seeing one new ones that I want to get, like have an array of portable lighting. I guess you can have as much variety outside as indoors, right?
Because it's also, you know, you can think you can use it in the home from room to room. It's not something that, oh, I can only use it outside. I think there is that versatility, lightweightness and lightheartedness to it that makes it quite relevant.
Definitely. And I mean, I do remember in the noughties seeing quite a lot of pretty parasols around the time that the Odd Rockers had a bit of a renaissance, which are those big swing chairs that have a canopy over them. They're very 70s, but they had a bit of a comeback in the 90s. I feel like they're due for one right now. But I wonder, we've forecast the outdoor desk for this year, right? And the coming years. So I'm imagining already that how lovely a parasol would be with your outdoor desk.
There's an opportunity there for embedding the electrical connections within the parasol, or even the maybe a heating built-in element so that you can be outside in every weather. Food for thought.
You've said it's really great for innovations. And I just wondered, I mean, no, it's not kind of on the same level as Milan when you talk about brand new materials, but did you see anything like Pinatex or Tuttomoxel? I'm never sure how to say it. Fernando Lopez, his corn husk marquetry. Was there anything like this that you spied at Maison?
I think overall, there was a lot of, it continues the conversation on the importance of commercial naturals that we're talking about in our trend forecasts. It's a really important direction to see brands at every level of the market making an effort into communicating, showcasing what they're doing to innovate on materials, to find more responsible, environment-friendly alternatives. Something really interesting, actually, was a Japanese brand called Biquadro. Actually, not a brand. I think they are a material innovator, basically. And they developed a way, that a patent-pending process, to extract silica for crystal manufacturing from rice husks, rather than, you know, destructive, really environmentally destructive mining. This is really interesting and holds really the potential to be implemented in any area where there is an abundance of rice or rice-like cultivation, you know. They call it botanical crystal. And they did a phenomenal job in explaining also the different steps that are involved and how the part that is burnt after extracting the silica will be reused as fertilizer. So they kind of really thought about all the steps that are involved into the process. The outcome is clear, it's beautiful, it's crystal. So there is a really interesting opportunity for them to partner with some manufacturers, or it was quite interesting to see something like that at Maison Objet, you know?
Okay, so last question for you, Gemma. If you could bring something back from Maison, what would it have been?
Probably, well, in an ideal world, the table with the interlaced edging on the border, because that was quite lovely. Again, on that crafted aspect, there was a lot of it in trays, where having a very beautiful interwoven in colored leather detailing on the handles of the trays. And then the collaboration between Poltrona Frau and Joe Bagnara with the home workout accessories, you know, like a leather skipping rope or lever and walnut weights. I see that as something, you know, on my wish list. That was something quite poetic.
Oh, wow. Brilliant.
Thank you to Gemma Roberti, Director of Interiors at WGSN, for sharing her Maison highlights with us. If you want to find out more about Maison, plus other fairs, which include Christmas World, Atlanta Market, and Heim Textil, you find plenty of reports on our Interiors platform. And if you're not a subscriber, visit wgsn.com to find out how you can get access to our service. We're constantly publishing new content focusing on how we can design a brighter, better future for our industries.
And these now include interiors, food and drink, fashion, and consumer tech and beauty. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time, but in the meantime, you can catch our CEO, Carly Buzashi, on our sister WGSN podcast, Lives of Tomorrow, which is all about how we will live our lives in the future. See you next time. Au revoir.